Welcome to Good Dogs, a show dedicated to helping you understand your dog better so you can live a better life together. This is one of the original Good Dog shows from many years ago, but the advice is still right on the money. Marcy Burke, the people with little dogs need your help. I feel guilty. We're always talking about your awesome golden retrievers and sometimes my Weimaraners. There are so many people with little dogs, and you, besides breeding champion goldens who do a lot of agility and hunting and retrieving, you do a lot of agility. So I'll bet you have lots of small dogs that you train. But I would love to spend some time talking about little dogs and what is the challenge that you as a trainer have. Is it with the dogs? Is it with the people? Which is the bigger issue, Marcy? Little dogs is today's topic.
Well, little dogs, the biggest issue, the big problem with little dogs is their people. Because little dog people, not all of them, but most of them, don't treat the dogs like dogs. They treat
right.
them, because they can carry them, they do. And then they wonder why later these dogs become snippy toward other people that approach them. And
yes.
what they're not allowing them to do is to learn how to be a dog. It doesn't matter whether a dog weighs 120 pounds or 6 pounds. If it's a dog, it is a canid, and it learns how to be a dog by allowing it to practice the things that dogs do. One of those things for little dogs is keeping all 4 feet on the ground.
Which is something they don't have a lot of opportunity to do because people pick them up. Now, maybe they have other reasons, but what I've noticed with friends with little dogs is that for a lot of them, they actually don't really want them to be dog-like. In other words, the person's emotional needs are met by having something more doll-like or childlike. They want to hold and swaddle and snuggle it. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, you're not wrong. It's absolutely why many people get the dogs they do. They want
yes.
dogs that will sit in their laps while they watch TV.
Yep.
They want dogs that they can carry into the store on their arm because nobody will say anything because they're carrying
right.
it. It's like a little baby doll that they take
yes.
with them everywhere. And, you know, many of these little dogs were bred for specifically that reason. And I have no problem with anybody having that goal for their dog, but they still need to allow that dog to learn how to be a dog so that it doesn't have behavior problems that will create real problems later on. I don't know. I can't even begin to tell you how many little dogs I have approached, not with the intent to touch them, but if somebody's holding them and you walk toward their person, they flip out, growling and barking, and the people don't understand why. And if they would take that first year of that dog's life and take it to class and allow it to be a dog, let it play with other dogs and find... there are places out there that will separate the little dogs from the big dogs. Because as you can imagine, if I had a little 4-pound Yorkie puppy, and as a puppy, they may even be 2 pounds. They're tiny little things. If they were playing with a Newfoundland who's the same age but
right.
weighs 100 times more than it
right.
does, what are you going to do to protect that puppy? So you have to be really smart as the owner of these little dogs in looking for facilities that address little dog issues.
Well, I'd like to just interrupt and say I think there's a problem that precedes that you mentioned. There's two aspects of a dog living in society. One is how it reacts and responds to other dogs, which we with large dogs are more concerned about because there can be all kinds of behavior complications. But with little dogs, if they're going to be on the chair, on the lap, on the couch, in a sling, in a pack, in a handbag, it's how they behave with people that
oh,
I've
yes.
seen to be a pretty serious problem. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a couple of situations that I've seen, and they're basically teetering on full-on danger. These dogs have or will bite somebody, and the people who own them don't have any idea how they've set up this problem or even how to unroll it. We'll be right back. Marcy, you mentioned approaching people who have a dog in a bag or in their arms and the dog being full-on nasty, growling, barking, sneering, showing its teeth. Some people that own these dogs think, oh, my dog's protecting me, which is a complete distortion of what a dog's doing. He might be resource guarding. He might want that person all to himself, but he's not guarding that person against danger. Can you talk a little about this attitude that people have? Seems to come out more with small dogs than big ones. Oh, he's just guarding me, and kind of liking that feeling.
And I understand why they may like that feeling. However, when your dog bites somebody, they're not going to like that anymore. And you're absolutely right. It is not them protecting them. It is resource guarding. And that is a really difficult thing to change. It is an easy thing to not let happen. If you're prepared. So if you have a little dog and we can get the biggest issue is changing the person's perception of what they need to do.
Right.
It's not just carry your little puppy around, because people are going to want to approach it. Use that as a training opportunity. It's okay. You want to take your dog into the store and not put it down on the ground? I'm okay with that. But when people approach, be prepared with things that you can give the other person so that when you walk over, they can give them a delicious treat. So they don't view you as somebody that they need to protect in the eyes of the person or guard in the dog's eyes. They view somebody approaching as, wow, the Pez dispensers are arriving. Because if every time somebody walks over to somebody holding a young puppy and the food doesn't come from the owner. That's the mistake most owners make.
Right.
They do the feeding. So we don't want them to do the feeding. We want the person who is approaching to do the feeding so that the attitude of the dog changes. Oh, good, someone's coming. I wonder what he's going to give me. As opposed to if you start being the one who's feeding, now they're not only resource guarding you, but they're going to resource guard the food that you're giving them. So the attitude of the person has to be looking at it not from their perspective. Because, Tracy, you have to agree with me, so many owners, although they love their dogs, they don't know how to think like dogs. So their perspective of what is happening comes from a human perspective, and it is, in many times, the complete opposite of what is happening. So as an example, if a dog stops barking, and so they're in their arms, and the
right.
dog is bark, 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 bark. The dog stops barking, and then they praise that dog for stopping barking. What in their mind, they don't think they're doing anything wrong because this little dog has stopped barking, and they've asked it to. The problem is it has to bark in order to be praised to stop barking. So the attitude of the person has to be looking proactively at what will help my dog accept other dogs, people, and not feel threatened by anybody who's being approached. And I think a couple of things, you know, I know people want to be holding them, but they need to force themselves to put these puppies on the ground. And sometimes they think their pups are at more risk than the larger dogs. And what I mean by that, they think they're at more, because they're lower to the ground, they think that they're more at risk for parvo or distemper if they're not fully vaccinated. And that's simply not true. What are they more at risk for? Being stepped on. Because the number one thing you want to build in any puppy when you bring it home is trust. And little dogs can accidentally be stepped on easily. So when you put them down on the ground, they need, you can understand why they would be nervous being on the ground. So purposely setting up not only their attitude about putting them on the ground, rewarding them, walking them among crowds, always with a watchful eye of what is around that could hurt this puppy. Because the puppy is so much smaller. And it's not that people aren't going to see them, because I've seen like Catan de Tulliers that are tiny little pups. You know, usually these puppies don't go home until they're 12 or 14 weeks old. So they're a little older than the sporting
breeds. Well,
let me
just interrupt. Yes, if they come from a proper breeder. But if they're bought from a pet store, which sadly many people of toy breeds do, those animals are the age of the Newfoundland, which means 8 weeks, which means it's way too early for a toy breed dog puppy to go home with somebody. So they've sort of gone home at a neonatal stage. I guess one of my concerns is that you're talking about puppies. Being a breeder, you're very aware of puppy development and starting puppies out on the right paw, so to speak. But the people I know with these lap sling bag dogs have dogs of all ages. It's not that they do this only when the dog may be young. They may even have gotten the dog from rescue, may not even have purchased the dog. But by never letting it be on the ground and experiencing the world properly on its own four paws, the dog really is suspended in air, has no way to even escape or give room for himself from whatever's approaching. So I think some of this behavior may even be anxiety or fear. If someone's holding you and someone else's hand comes at you, it's kind of threatening.
Well, think about what the big dogs do. When do we have most of our issues? On leash.
Yes.
The little dogs aren't on leash. They're being held, but it's the same issue. I'm not in control. I'm frightened of something. I'm anxious about something, but I can't leave. Their only reaction that they can have is to lash out, which is usually by barking. So what the owner needs to do is to be able to change their attitude, to be able to put, you know, being able to put them on the ground, setting up situations that will, may start with the owner initially feeding, but then eventually once the puppy or the small dog of whatever age becomes safe. Because the big issue is, I mean, when people walk up to me and they actually say to me, may I pet your dog? I'm ecstatic that they've asked, because as we know, all dogs bite. So with this small dog, and I find the propensity of bites with me when I've been bitten, it has always been by a small dog. And it's only been twice, and both times I was assured that the dog was fine, and both times my error. I read that there was a problem with this dog, and they told me the dog was fine, and I should have gone with my gut, because who knows more about dogs? I did. But I trusted them in both situations, and it wasn't a bad bite, but it was a nip, and I know that that dog was absolutely fearful. So getting people to understand that also it isn't, most people think, well, just get them out with a large crowd. It isn't about large crowds. Large crowds flood these dogs with fear. If they're anxious or fearful, well, let's take them out with 30 people to be concerned about instead of just one.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people do. So instead, set it up with somebody who you know, that because most small dogs, if they are concerned about people, and I don't mean always concerned, but when they're being held, you can set up a training session with somebody who will take your direction, as opposed to you're out in the park and somebody, oh, Fluffy, and they come running over to you, and that, you know, that voice has already put the dog on alert.
Right.
And now it's ready, and it's all about emotion. So, you know, it's, we can go into, maybe at another time, some very specific things that you can do. But there's different types of training that you do for different issues, one dealing with emotion and one just dealing with general behaviors. And they're dealt with differently. But the small dog person really needs to understand that flooding them with experiences is not necessarily the good thing to do. And the other thing they need to do is realize that their emotions, so if they're concerned, with big dogs, we send our emotions down the leash.
Right.
They send their emotions into the dog that they're holding. So if they are concerned about something, what better way to deal with it than to put the dog down?
Right, so and let the dog have their own experience of it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about growling and snarling or stiffening, and how I've seen that happen quite a lot in small dogs that are being held, and the owners don't understand what's going on. I mean, and that yes. it's not just barking, which is pretty annoying, a high-pitched bark, but this other reaction, which is fully dangerous, and an owner that would say to you, there's not a problem, that problem has happened before.
Oh, yes.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. So there's a kind of a denial about people. They've turned these dogs into babies that bite, which is a scary thought in and of itself. We're going to be right back after this break. Marcy, I have a friend whose dog was fearful when she got it at a year old. It was a rehome, was supposed to be bred, but had a heart murmur. And the dog was terrified of big dogs, and so she could have worked with a trainer one-on-one with my dogs, which wouldn't harm the hair on the head of a small dog. They're curious, they sniff, but they have no desire to chase them. It's not like a cat, which is not safe in their presence. And then the dog became bitey, snarly, snappy around grandchildren, around other people who approached. And I said, you got to get the dog off your lap, off the seat, onto the ground. But they're unwilling to do it. People with these dogs are unwilling to do it, even when jeopardy is imminent. How do we deal with this emotional desire to believe that the baby you're holding won't bite? Because, as you said, all dogs bite. But, you know, a human baby has only got gums, so it's not a big problem. But these little babies have teeth, and the anxiety is, I would say, built into the fact that they are restrained. They think they're holding the dog and keeping it safe or warm or cozy. It's restrained. It's like putting a straitjacket on someone and saying, let things come at you that you have no control over. How do we get through to people? I mean, the next show we'll do on little dogs will be some specifics about how do you do sit, stay, and come reliably with a small dog. But first, you have to change your view of them being little babies that you hold all the time, right?
Well, the trying to get them to understand that they're dogs. First and foremost, they are dogs. And changing human behavior is so much harder than changing dog behavior.
Yeah.
Because you humans think they know everything. And I can tell you, you know, I have had dogs that have my lovely girl Cash, who I lost recently, is just a wonderful girl. But she resource guarded. And I don't know where it came from. She
yes.
had it as a puppy. She, you know, and
yes.
so, but she was so good in her signals. I knew when it was, never with me, I could take anything away from her.
Right.
But she would resource guard with other dogs. And so it wasn't that I didn't give her delicious things. She just got them in her crate.
Yes.
So she could have
yes.
those wonderful bones. And she didn't feel like she needed to guard it because she was locked in, the bone
yes.
was there, dogs
yes.
would walk right up to her. She knew it wasn't an issue.
Right.
How did she show me? It's the one thing that I see most pet people totally misinterpret. She froze.
Yes.
She absolutely froze when another dog came nearby. And that, most people don't understand that the next thing that's going to happen after freezing is not going to be pretty.
That's right. That's a really good point. These people, the woman or the several people, male or female, that held a small dog and told you the dog was fine, you saw a frozen dog, maybe eyes averted, maybe eyes the white showing, but they just told you this fact. They were lying. It wasn't that they didn't know. They knew, but they just wanted to believe that the things that happened before were the fault of the other person or the situation or it was the time of the month or whatever it might be. I think to wrap up, I think the important thing to realize is that if you have a dog who you've set up to become this baby with teeth, if you will, then you have to be as alert as you were with Cash to every single time that dog is going to meet a new person. Leave aside meeting other dogs, because I don't think that's the problem. I think it's meeting people. If you can't bring yourself to put the dog on the ground, which would give the dog the freedom to be a dog, then you have to back up and not get close to the other person and not let the other person get close to your dog, because you're setting your dog up to need to bite, not to want to bite, but to need to bite. I mean, just in wrapping up, what are your thoughts on that kind of thought?
I was going to say, lastly, I think the best way to try to get through to the owners is to not worry, to tell them not so much to worry. I'm not saying not to worry about what the dog is doing, but they love their dog. Do they want their dog to feel anxious? Do they want their dog to feel
out
of control? This dog is upset. Nobody who loves their dog wants their dog to be upset. And it isn't upset about the other person. It's upset about the lack of control of its environment. When you're holding it, I got to be good. I got to be good. I got to be good. That's what's going through its head. But I can't be good. I'm so uncomfortable. And they're pushing me toward this person to say, oh, give it a kiss, which is, you know, how many times have I seen it?
Right.
And then the dog snaps at it. And the dog is so clearly saying it. I would just make the assumption that if the dog is in my arms, it is not going to be comfortable with anybody else approaching it. Period. End of story.
You know what? That is a great final comment. If you insist upon holding your dog for your emotional needs that you're projecting onto your dog, they are your needs that are being met. And Marcy and I think that people can have dogs for all kinds of reasons. This is not a judgment. It's only a criticism if you don't respect the fact that you're holding a dog. It's not a human baby with teeth. And if you're going to hold it, then you have to give space, protect space, because you have put your dog in an uncomfortable position. I once went to kiss my niece on the cheek. She had a Chihuahua in a bag. She'd had that dog for years. Seems to me if she knew the dog didn't like someone to come over and kiss her, she should have let me know so I didn't get snapped at. I'm like, wow, you actually are still holding that dog knowing that you have a loaded gun in that bag. And it's pointed at me. So we're going to come back with a lot of specifics about how to teach a small dog the sort of things that a dog should know how to do. Sit, stay, down, wait. Those are some good ones. So we're going to work on that in the next time that Marcy and I talk. But we really want those of you with small dogs to understand D-O-G spells dog. And you really need to spend a minute and unravel what your emotional needs are and what the comfort, emotional needs, and physical needs of your little baby with teeth are. Yeah, Marcy?
I agree 100%.
All right, folks. So any comments, you could go to Avidog International and learn how you could get into a training class with Marcy and the other great Avidog ladies, or you can write to me at RadioPetLady@gmail.com with any comments or questions about your little dogs. Thanks for listening.